Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Murray Barlow from Rustenburg Winery. How are you, Murray?
Good to be back.
Okay, last week we were talking a little bit about South Africa, some of the issues in South Africa at the moment, and touched on Stellenbosch, but I really want to focus in on Stellenbosch and your winery and some of the wines you guys produce.
Great.
So let's start off with Stellenbosch. Last week we sort of said it was in the sort of southwest of South Africa. You've got you're near Cape Town.
Correct.
And you've got a little bit of, you've got views of False Bay, which is the big bay that Cape Town's sort of on the side of.
Right, right.
So you're getting cool breezes.
Sure.
I always thought the Cape Doctor as a wind sort of came in from the southeast into it. But if you look at, I've got a map of Stellenbosch at the moment. There's quite a few hills that are in the way. You know, Stellenbosch is almost protected by a range of mountains on the side that the Cape Doctor comes through. So does it just sort of wrap its way around, or how does it work?
Yeah, so it really depends. But we do get winds out of the west and the southwest as well. Generally, those are the breezes that impact us the most. But from all around, I mean, we've got basically ocean in the northwest,
yep,
west, south, southwest around us. So the ocean will have a big impact on us as a region. We've got quite a range of different soils in Stellenbosch, so everything from sandy soils to clay-based soils to granitic soils closer to the mountainside. So that gives us a lot of diversity.
Because it is quite a hilly or mountainous
region. It's quite pretty mountainous, yep.
Yeah, is it volcanic mountains, or is it, you know, geological where Earth's been pushed up?
So they're called the Cape Fold Mountains.
They're
very, very old, and they really sort of tend to be, if you look at the structure of the mountains, they split into three different stones. So the youngest deposit is sandstone, which is about 200 million years old. So it's the same stone that Table Mountain is made out of, and it's called Table Mountain sandstone, very aptly. Below that, you get granite, which a lot of it started to decompose and is very fertile. And then we tend to, below that, start getting shale.
And
those are sort of the mountain structure. And then when you get closer to the ocean, you start to get more sand, and the lower lying areas more clay. But really a very diverse place to work soil-wise.
Okay.
So a lot of
diversity.
You said
volcanic soil is quite productive. Is that because it's decomposing, so it's releasing a lot of those nutrients?
Sure. So the granite soils are very high in trace elements, high in iron content, and we tend to the vines actually almost grow too quickly. So we have to use devigorating rootstocks that sort of rein the vines in. A vine, given the choice, will primarily want to grow.
It just wants to get big, doesn't it?
It just wants to spread and go as much as possible. So we do have to use devigorating rootstocks on Rustenburg, which is the majority of our soils are granitic soils.
Okay. What's the climate like there? Is it, because if you think of climate as cool, moderate, warm, and hot, where does Stellenbosch
we'd have a Mediterranean climate, so
it's Mediterranean,
warm dry summers and cold wet winters. Kind of like for our listeners who've maybe visited Western Australia, similar to Margaret River, or similar to Washington in the US. Those sort of climates. We, because of the influence of the ocean, wouldn't be as hot as some of the regions that have east of us and that don't have a maritime influence. Places like Paarl are about 5 degrees Celsius warmer during the summertime, and Franschhoek as well, just simply because they don't have that oceanic influence.
Okay.
So that's generally what, the conditions that we're faced with.
And would you class as warm then, or high warm?
I would say we're warm. I'd say we're a warm region. But I wouldn't say we're a hot area. We can get into the high 30s during heat waves.
Yep.
But very rare for us to move into the 40s or beyond, we don't. There are lots of wine regions to the east of us, to the north of us, that do get those temperatures.
Yep.
We're lucky too that we've got altitude. So for example, our Sauvignon Blanc is grown at altitude. It's about 550 meters above sea level, and that, for every degree, you get a degree cooler for every 100 meters you are up.
That's
so
right.
We're lucky having the mountains to be able to plant the mountain slopes. It's good for drainage of the water. Vines like to have dry feet. It's good for cool growing conditions. It's not just a flat area. We've got a lot of aspect.
Do a lot of people go up the hills?
They do. Obviously, it gets to a point where you can't drive a tractor anymore, or the wind will blow you to pieces. So within reason, a lot of people have planted on hillsides, and it's great because you can, you know, you on a hill you can plant north, south, east, and west facing slopes. So you can have cool slopes, warm slopes, slopes to get the afternoon sun, slopes to get the morning sun, and you can plant accordingly. So we've got a wide range of varieties planted in Stellenbosch. Pretty much every variety that's grown in the country is grown there. And I think South Africa isn't a country like that a lot of people associate with a lot of New World producers, and that we're not all in on one varietal. If you look at Australia, it's got massive Shiraz plantings. New Zealand is 75% Sauv Blanc. And Argentina is all in with Malbec. Really.
Yeah.
Our biggest plant single planting is Chenin, which is 18% of the whole national vineyard area. So in that sense, we've got a wide diversity of plantings, which is good and bad. I think for new wine consumers getting into South Africa, we don't necessarily have one or two go-to varietals. We do a lot of different things well.
Just before we get into the grape varieties, do you want to tell us a little bit about Rustenburg? Because how long have you been going for?
So Rustenburg is a very old estate. It was founded in 1682 by a German from the Rhineland. And we actually have proof of our first wine being sold off the property in 1692. And the person who bought that wine, actually Brandy, was the very first female doctor in the Cape, which is very interesting. We've seen sort of two major eras, one being the Dutch era, which ended off the Napoleonic Wars, and that was focused mainly on distillation. And then we start seeing a lot more red wine production with the British era, which takes over from the early 1800s right through to where we are now. The property was split in the 1790s into two different properties, and my association with the property starts in the 40s, or my family's at least. My grandfather bought one portion of Rustenburg in 1941 and then the second portion in 1945. And so today it's about 95% of its original granted title from 1682. And we farm today as a family. We're 100% family owned and run. My father runs the vineyards. I run the winemaking, marketing, and sales. My wife is in the business. She's involved very much in the business side of things. And then my mother runs the grounds, gardens, and cattle. So it's all in with the family.
So where does the Barlow name come from?
It's actually a name from Manchester. So my great-grandfather came out from Manchester. His family owned a mill at the time, mainly producing blankets.
Yep.
He came out to South Africa in about 1898, and the plan was to expand his family business. Unfortunately, the Boer War broke out, or the Second Boer War, or the South African War, if you want to be semantically correct. And he joined the British forces. He survived the war. He survived the Battle of Spionkop, which is a very famous battle, which is a lot. British soldiers didn't, so got very lucky there. And then he set up a business in Natal around the city of Durban. And my grandfather was the youngest of five children, and he moved to the Western Cape, where Cape Town is, where the wine regions are. And he had actually studied it at Cambridge. My grandfather studied at Cambridge, and everyone who's ever visited a college in Cambridge knows they have these amazing wine cellars.
Yep, yep.
And he probably drank a lot of great claret and wanted to get into the wine industry. And so he started that journey in the 40s, and we haven't looked back.
How did he acquire Rustenburg, or how does the family?
So he had he lived in a suburb called Simonstown, which is very near the military base or naval base at least during the 30s, and he'd take day trips out to Stellenbosch and try and speak to farmers. There weren't no such thing as estate agents in those days, and trying to get them to sell them their properties. No one wanted to sell. The economy was recovering from the Great Depression. And then during the Second World War, a lot of farmers were forced to plant food crops, and there was no demand for any wine. Everyone was on rations. And so a lot of the farmers, unfortunately, went bankrupt. And my grandfather was able, being an officer in artillery, was able every sort of 18 months to get special leave just to check on his business interests. And when he did come home, he managed to purchase one portion of Rustenburg. And then when the war ended in 1945, he purchased the second portion. And now it's back together as it was in 1682.
All right. So your family didn't set up Rustenburg. They purchased it. And they purchased it.
So it's a very old brand. Our label has been the same since 1955, and we've got bottling records going back to 1888, and before then we've got wine sale records, which are all going back to early 1700s. So wine up until the late 1800s was really sold in cask, and then wine merchants would bottle it in situ wherever the wine was. So that's the legacy.
Okay, let's touch on some of the wines. I tested a range of wines yesterday. What do you think is the pinnacle of Rustenburg?
I think in terms of white wine, it's Chardonnay.
Yep.
And with red wines, it's definitely Cabernet and Cabernet-based blends. So those would be the two varieties that we're best known for.
Stellenbosch, you always think of Bordeaux-style reds.
That's correct, yeah. Very, very well known as probably the Cabernet capital of the country.
Excellent. All right then, Murray, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Thank you. It's been
Cheers
great.
Thanks very much.